Today, on the Easter Sunday edition of the Travel Guys.
Fighting off stories of crazed turkeys and the like.
I knew you couldn't avoid saying something there.
Couldn't resist that one. That's one of the best stories of the day.
Oh, my.
In the travel news, Disney considers resort fees. Boo. Starwood picks Marriott over a Chinese bid. And we tell you the things not to do at a nude beach.
Well, you mean like film a sports leisure vacations TV commercial?
Yeah, or go out at this time of the year to a nude beach. You'd freeze your... Well, anyway, you can move
at
along.
At 3:20, KFBK Morning News anchor Amy Lewis and her husband Stuart stop by and share impressions from their recent trip to Moab, Utah, along with a story that will, well, it's going to make you back away from the ledge.
No kidding. Yeah. Hawaii, Tahiti, great destinations in the Pacific we have shared on the show. Today we are going to Fiji. That report comes up at 3:35.
And finally, we save the best for last as Mark and I are going to fill out our ballots for the annual Freddie Awards, choosing our favorite hotels and airline loyalty programs. And you're invited to click on the link at travelguysradio.com. Fill out your ballots along with us.
Happy Easter, Sacramento. Thank you for spending part of your holiday Sunday with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, the king of the road, riding on the city.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, a beautiful Easter Sunday. And Mark and I are here.
It is a spectacular day.
Yeah, I got the ham in the oven
as we
speak. I got a bunch of folks coming over to spend some time with me. And how about you?
I spent a good part, like, good.
Are you okay there?
Yeah,
you
get your reading glasses got kind of caught in my ear there.
He almost ripped off his ear like I did last year with my hearing.
These things happen to old people when they try to, you know, work with complicated devices like glasses.
We need to put this on video.
Be more entertaining to people. Anyway. I spent a good part of my Easter Sunday with my mama.
Wonderful.
And brought her over to my office. She took a bad fall a few weeks ago, and she's recovering. And so we did a road trip. And
road trip to your office.
We got mom in the wheelchair and got her into the car, and we took off, brought her over to the office, and we went over to had our Easter Sunday dinner at Arby's. Actually, see, the family went to a fancy Easter brunch, but mom was kind of hurting because she'd fallen and stuff, and she didn't want to go through all of that rigmarole.
Right.
So oldest son came to take care of mom while rest of family goes off. So oldest son is a travel guy, so we decided on a road trip. What the heck? And mom was up for it, and so we had a good. So if she happens to be listening to the radio, mom, I had a good time, and I hope you're having a very nice Easter Sunday. So you're going back home to have Easter with your family after the show.
First, I got to say happy Easter to Mrs. Hoffman. I want you to know your son is a great guy,
and
I love him dearly, and I'll try to see if we can keep him from falling down and banging his head again.
It's been kind of a trend in the Hoffman family the last couple months.
You didn't tell your mom about that, did you?
I did,
okay.
But she fell
herself.
She heard
it on the radio.
Yeah, she heard it on the radio.
Well, she needs to be careful. Yes, after the show, we've got the usual clan coming over. We've got the ham in the oven. I'm going to make an attempt at making some deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs.
Yeah.
The Romano deviled eggs.
Very good at that. I can do spaghetti, but Italians and deviled eggs, it's just kind of weird.
Well, I hope that everybody is out there listening is having a good Easter Sunday. You couldn't ask for a nicer day. Good grief.
We actually got the backyard looking like it does in the summertime. Got the gazebo going and the patio furniture. And I think some people will actually spend a little bit of time in the outside.
Before, as long as the rain clouds don't come rolling in. Exactly.
Now,
All right.
You told me on the way in that you had like 16 things in today's
in
travel,
the travel news. Yeah.
So with that being said, it's time for our weekly travel news update.
Hey, speaking of which, did you see our man Huey from, you know, Huey in the news? He was the manager of the Giants yesterday in the spring training game for about 15 minutes or something, he took the lineup out.
Did you notice
Huey Lewis?
Check this out. What does that say?
Huey Lewis, yeah. In the news, it's you're not... Well, you've got some stuff hanging down your front there, so I can't see. We're not here for a long time, but we're here for Huey Lewis in the news. Yeah.
There you go. He's got that song. We're not here for a long time, but we're here for a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I picked this up at one of those shows.
All right.
All
well,
right.
Anyway.
Travel news time.
Travel news time.
Thanks, Luis.
Never give Luis alone with the buttons. Okay. Let's see here. Atlanta is considering fingerprinting Uber and Lyft drivers, apparently. Uber says their background checking process is sufficient. However, a 2014 lawsuit against Uber states that in Los Angeles, registered sex offenders, a kidnapper, identity thieves, burglars, and a convicted murderer had passed Uber's, quote, industry-leading, end quote, background check. Atlanta City Council discussed the airport's plan on Wednesday. AP said the plan would also apply to Lyft and other ride booking companies. Cab drivers have to be fingerprinted. Why would Uber and Lyft drivers not
be? I'm sure they should.
I think the playing field should be level there. I got nothing against Uber and Lyft. I just think the playing field should be legal. Did you hear about the gal, the flight attendant? We were talking about this before we came on the air, who got caught smuggling that suitcase full of cocaine.
Yeah, it made Entertainment Tonight.
She wasn't smuggling it into the country. So here's a little bit of an update. She had this suitcase. If you didn't hear about it, she was going through TSA. She was a JetBlue flight attendant. She was working, and she was moving this cocaine across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the TSA people, you know, they go through a special line, but it doesn't mean that they don't get searched at all. And so when she put the bag through, the TSA flagged it for a secondary search, and I guess she knew if they opened it up that she was going to be in trouble. So she took off running down the concourse and caught a flight later that evening to Los Angeles using her JetBlue identity. Which is kind of scary. But anyway, she turned herself in a week later. A Brooklyn judge gave her a bail amount, but the Los Angeles judge said not so much. So she's in jail, and she's facing 10 years. And, you know, it just goes to show you. Speaking of airline people who got in trouble, a United Airlines pilot has been charged with running a prostitution ring.
No.
Yes.
You're making that up.
According to ABC News, 51-year-old United Airlines pilot Bruce Wayne Wallace... He should have stopped with just the first two names.
Bruce Wayne.
Has been charged with two felonies in Harris County District Court, one for aggravated promotion of prostitution and the other for engaging in organized criminal activity.
Wow.
United has removed him from flight duty.
The pensions, you know, are not what they used to be.
He's a decorated pilot. He was added to the Federal Aviation Administration's Airman Certification Database in 2013. The list highlights pilots who meet or exceeded the high educational licensing and medical standards established by the FAA. It doesn't say anything about being pimp or anything, though. But so that worked out okay, I guess. Brussels Airport is not going to open until Tuesday, it appears. That was just a horrible situation. But if you are flying in the next few weeks, you need to go to the airline's website and check out. If you don't want to go, they've issued some waivers for extending out a couple weeks. But, you know, if you're in June and you don't want to go, that's not going to work for you. Not so much. So the waivers are just for folks that are flying in the foreseeable future. Here is Disney Resorts. We reported in the headlines floating the possibility of a resort fee. In a survey with their customers, a $15 a night fee would cover the shuttle bus, priority pass, resort planning, extra magic hours, that's getting in early, parking and Wi-Fi. In other words, all the things that you currently get for free
pretty much
would be included in that $15 thing. You missed a really big deal in Oakdale Monday night, Thomas.
Really?
Annual Testicle Festival.
Excuse me?
The annual Testicle Festival was held in Oakdale on Monday night. Now, I want you to know, trying to be a good radio reporter, I've tried several times since Monday to get an update from someone in Oakdale, particularly from the Oakdale Rotary Club that's in charge of the Testicle Festival, but I have not been able to get anybody.
Can we actually talk about on the radio what a Testicle Festival is?
Well, it has to do with our cow partners. They serve Rocky Mountain oysters at
this particular
testicle festival.
Okay. You know, like the asparagus festival.
You thought I was talking about.
I don't know. I mean.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we will, if there's anyone in our viewing range right now who is in Oakdale or went to the Testicle Festival or has anything that they can update us on it, 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. We would love to hear an update, and I will stay right on top of that and hope to have something for us next week.
I'm glad to hear.
About the testicles. Last week we told you that a Chinese insurance company was interested in acquiring the
My Home Resort
Starwood hotel chain.
How's
they had already gotten
out?
The Hotel Del Coronado and some other luxury hotels. Well, they put in they topped Marriott's bid, and first thing Monday morning, Marriott said not so much. And Marriott came back and said, we'll give you some more money, and Starwood's shareholders have already voted on it. So Starwood will be folded. Yeah, into Marriott after all.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yesterday morning, an American Airlines co-pilot failed a breathalyzer test. The flight from Detroit to Philadelphia was canceled after the co-pilot failed the test. The more interesting part of this story, I think, is what the level is for pilots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us, it's 0.10, right?
Yeah.
1/10 of 1%.
Right.
In some states, it's 0.08.
What is it for pilots?
0.04.
Ooh.
So really, if you're a pilot, if you've had...
If it was
one drink and you just had it, it's going to show up. So that was more important to me, finding out the level that they are held to, than the fact that one guy was slightly or maybe a lot over. AAA has revealed tips for European travel during the State Department alert. Fairly quickly here, I think these are all pretty good. I didn't get them in time to get them up on our website, so they're not there for you. But 7 quick tips. Know your destination. Be aware of your surroundings. Know your destination. In other words, specifically the address of your destination,
mm-hmm.
not just the country. Be aware of your surroundings. Here's 3 that we've told people a few times before. Enroll in the Department of State's Smart Traveler Enrollment Program. Step. So your government knows where you are. Buy travel insurance. Make copies of all documents. Allow for longer delays in transit. All 6 good tips from AAA, and that is your travel news for today.
All right, off to Moab, Utah. A wonderful place to visit, particularly if you're outdoorsers and you like to ride your bike and so forth. We'll visit with morning anchor Amy Lewis and her wonderful husband, Stuart. That's coming up in about 3 minutes here on the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as I told you, Amy Lewis and her husband had a visit to Moab. Now, you've probably seen some TV ads, some radio ads about Moab. And my first thought is, what is a Moab? Well, obviously, if you saw the ads, it's a great vacation retreat in Utah. And Amy and Stuart just returned about a week ago. Tell our listeners about Moab,
Tom,
you guys.
Tom Romano.
Yes.
Moab, Utah, is 360 degrees of spectacular.
All right.
How's that?
You sound like the ad.
In a nutshell. So here's the deal. The great thing about having my husband do this with me is that he never does radio. Ever, ever, ever. So he's very, very nervous. Hi, Henny.
Hey.
Okay, so he and I went to Moab, and he and I went specifically to mountain bike through the amazing terrain of the Canyonlands and...
Dead Horse Point.
Dead Horse Point State Park. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time, right?
Absolutely fabulous. We did a 9-mile single track piece with a couple of guides.
Yeah. Rim Tours took us through. We had Steve Evers and Dave Bagley. They were very, very patient because we've mountain biked for a couple of years now, and Stuart's biked forever. But I've never done anything like that before, and it was so great.
Well, tell me, Stuart, I understand it was quite an adventure getting there. Tell me a little bit about from Sacramento to
really?
Utah.
Are you sure?
Well, okay, so you fly in. We flew into Salt Lake City.
Right.
And they said it's a 4-hour drive.
Yeah.
It is a 4-hour drive. And honestly, it's the hard part is 4 hours. As far as the roads to get there, it's basically 4. The 4 highways, then you roll right into Moab. And
the speed limit on one of the highways was 80 miles an hour. We didn't do that, but it was a little intimidating. He's not telling the whole truth, though. We flew, and both of our flights were delayed. And then we had to wait a while to get our baggage. So we ended up getting to our nice little Best Western's Canyonlands motel room at midnight. And we were supposed to go biking the next morning. So we called the Rim Tours and said, gee, we're not going to be able to do that. Can we do it later in the day? No problem at all. And then we started our tour at about 1 o'clock. But Tom, I swear to you, you've got to go see Moab. The scenery is incredible. The arches, delicate arch.
The Red Rock Canyons.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Grand Canyon on a, I guess, a smaller scale. But, you know, the Colorado River's running through, and you're just overlooking 500, 600, 700 feet down.
Yeah.
And the colors are amazing.
One view that we had, we approached this cliff. I swear to you, it's a cliff. And our guide said, okay, we got off our bikes, and he said, now you have to get down on your hands and knees and crawl to the edge of this cliff.
Which really?
And we actually shimmied close to it and put our heads over the edge of the cliff, 1,000 feet down.
Oh, my gosh.
And Stuart was like, okay, that's enough for me. I'm going to back away. So I scared him to death because then...
Oh, then she kind of... shimmied around and just hung her feet over and just sitting on the edge like she's on a park bench.
You did.
And then she says, here, take a picture. And so, you know, we did that. And
it's actually on my page. You can go to kfbk.com on Amy's View.
Clearly, you don't have a fear of heights.
You know what? I don't. But I'll tell you, for the next two nights, I had nightmares about that. Like one good breeze, which just toppled me right over.
One of the things I noticed, though, everybody was... You know, we've toured some other places, but everybody was fabulously nice.
They really were.
What do you need? Extra? Can we do this?
They smiled at
the restaurants.
At you.
At the restaurants, you know, the waitresses or waiters, and some of the things we noticed were prices.
Yeah, let me tell you. So we went to the Moab Diner for our first breakfast.
Okay.
Okay. So Stuart always has this. He has two eggs over easy, four pieces of toast, and bacon. I always have coffee because it's first thing in the morning. So we got the check from the waitress and it was $12.72. So I said to her, okay, the exact same meal in downtown Paris, $80.
Oh my gosh. Now, for our listeners that might be thinking of taking this adventure, what would you recommend as to how they go about approaching a trip to Moab?
You know what? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the season is basically March to November.
Okay.
It's a major Jeep off-road location
for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's now a mountain biking mecca. It's a road biking mecca. It's a hiking...
Enchanted land.
It's mm-hmm. the place to be.
Yeah.
And you see that when you get there. You know, they're talking about Main Street, you know, traffic jams, which for us are not.
Yeah.
For them, it's 30 seconds to turn left on a light. but, you know, to go to plan, you know, if you're an enthusiast with any of those types of desires... honestly, flying into Salt Lake and taking the drive to see other parts of the country, which are gorgeous.
And you can do the tours anyway, but not just, I mean, if you're not a hiker, you're not a biker, you're not a runner, you can take pictures. I mean, it is a photographer's dream. So, I mean, you can just drive your car through the arches and through the canyonlands and pull off the side of the road, and you've got an incredible shot.
So you don't necessarily need a tour guide?
No.
Not at all. Many people come with their racks of bikes and all their gear. We saw cars that were filled to the gunnels or the walls, you know, with all their gear.
Yeah.
They just get out and they go.
Yeah.
All right. When are you going back?
We'll probably go back again next year. We're going to go to Europe next month.
All right.
So, yeah, we have a lot of plans.
Well, thank you for joining us. Why don't you come and see us after you do Europe, and we'll talk about that, too.
We'll do it.
All right. Amy Lewis.
Thanks, Tommy.
Stuart Lewis with KFBK. Of course, Amy Mornings with KFBK. And be listening for Mark's travel tip on her show on a weekly basis. Thanks, guys.
See you
next time.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
So, Amy, did you know the word I can see, I just pointed out during the interview, is the word I can see out the window here is a billboard for Moab.
Yeah, right off of 80 there by the Ardmix.
Moab is an incredibly, incredibly cool place. Amy is not off on that at all. There are two national parks plus Dead Horse State Park there, which is almost as pretty as the two national parks. And there are three other national parks, literally a stone within a day's drive. So mm-hmm. Southern Utah, you could make a very strong argument that Southern Utah is the most beautiful place in the whole country.
Wow. She said... They ended up getting a late flight out. Their airline was delayed by quite a few hours. In fact, it was SW, and they got there much later than they anticipated. And mm-hmm. it was a 4-hour drive from from the airport to their destination.
Well,
so
you can take a puddle jumper
late.
Right to Moab. You can get to Moab from Denver or Salt Lake City by plane. It's just that as long as the hamster's not too tired. Dina popped in. Dina, where's your favorite place to go? Where have you been that you really like? We're just talking about Moab here.
I would probably say Hawaii only because I have been there only two times and I absolutely love it and adore it. I love honestly doing nothing and just soaking my toes in the sand and
Vegematic.
The first time I went there, I actually the day before we left, I found out I was pregnant, so I had to have all these virgin pina coladas. It wasn't so
so that's why you
and the lobster, my favorite thing, kept making me sick.
Oh, yeah,
isn't
no.
that funny? She found out she had to be pregnant, so she went over there and had all these virgin drinks. Something so there's something in reverse order about that. In
really,
some way, shape, or form.
Which island did you stay?
We Maui. We went to Kaanapali, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Kaanapali,
yeah. And then the second time too, we went to Hawaii, we went to Disney's Aulani.
Oh, the Aulani. Uh-huh.
Yeah, with our two kids. Our awesome. Five-year-old was just a baby, but it was a good time.
Cool, yeah. cool. Hey, Thomas, I got a thing from Dollar Express here. It's going to be Dina's turn to do the news in just a minute. You see this? Terms and conditions.
Yeah,
this
terms
is,
and
these
conditions
are these adhesion contracts that Ed Perkins and Chris Elliott talk about all the time.
Right.
This is an update. Keep going with your finger there. Just keep going.
My arm's getting tired.
Yeah. You know how many pages there is of this update? 73 pages to their update of their terms and conditions to Dollar Rental Car. Do you suppose that anybody actually reads this? I don't think so. I read the first four paragraphs, and then, you know, by then I was bored to tears. 73 pages. This is why when you and then you sign on the dotted line says that you understand and agree to everything that's in these 73 pages. Dina's next with the news, and then we'll come back and take you to Fiji, and Tom and I are going to be voting for the Freddie Awards right here on the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Once again, you're tuned to the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman, the chief cook and bottle washer for Sports Leisure. To my left, I'm Tom Romano, the guy that knows the Travel Guy. And, well, here we go again. Mark, who do we have this time on our travel show?
We're going out in the middle of the ocean, Thomas. I'm a big fan of the South Pacific. I've been to the islands around Tahiti. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'm a big fan of Hawaii, as are you. I mean, I don't know that that's necessarily South Pacific, but sort of kind of on the way there. But if you really, really go out in the Pacific, really to the middle of nowhere, you're going to find a small group of islands, island nation of Fiji. And when I was at the Los Angeles travel show a few weeks ago, I met Ruth Daly, and the Fijian people had a wonderful little display there and stuff. And I thought, you know, that would be perfect for the Travel Guys. So it's my pleasure to welcome Ruth Daly to the Travel Guys. Hi, Ruth.
Bula. Bula, of course, is how you say hello in Fijian. So a big bula.
A big bula back to you.
Awesome. Yeah, bula.
Ruth, those of us on the mainland, you know, it wasn't just a few weeks ago that Fiji had a very almost cataclysmic situation with the storm out there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks for asking about that, Mark. Well, back on the weekend of February 20th, 21st, Fiji was actually hit by Tropical Cyclone Winston, which was the largest storm to ever hit the South Pacific, Category 5, with winds up to 200 miles an hour. So while we did suffer some damage in our remote outer islands, you know, God has always looked very favorably on the Fijian islands, and the eye of the storm actually passed right between our two major islands. So I'm happy to report that 90% of Fiji's tourism infrastructure is already back open and really willing and able to welcome guests back to the islands.
Wow, that is good news. I mean, if there could be good news out of a situation like that, it sounds like you guys kind of dodged a bullet.
That's amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Keep in mind that Fiji is actually comprised of 333 islands. So it was a lot of the small remote islands that don't really have any tourism infrastructure on them that were worst hit. So certainly sending out our thoughts and love to all of our brothers out on the outer islands who are rebuilding. But again, the international airport, 90% of the tourism infrastructure was not harmed at all.
So Ruth, we know Fiji is still there and is ready for visitors. What's the best time of the year to visit Fiji?
Well, there's no bad time ever, and it is beautiful year-round. It's easy. The temperatures during the day fluctuate between about 80 and 95, and at night they might sink down to 75. So beautiful and year-round. The difference is in the humidity. So we are on the other side of the equator, so southern hemisphere, so the seasons are opposite. So our summer, June, July, and August, is actually winter time in Fiji, and that's the dry season. So June, July, and August are the nicest times weather-wise, but they're also the busiest time. So December, January, February tend to be wetter. You'd have more humidity and some rain showers. Still a great time to visit. It'll just be a little bit more moist. And then the shoulder seasons are really a great time to be there as well. March, April, May, great. It's going into, that would be fall, or September, October, November.
Now tell us, our listeners, a little bit about the accommodations in Fiji. What are your options?
Well, look, we've got a very large tourism infrastructure. You have to remember that Fiji gets about half of its visitors from Australia because we're only 4 hours from Sydney. So you can find, if you like, the large resort-style hotels. There's a beautiful intercontinental hotel down on our Natandola Beach. Some beautiful large hotels. But I think really for North Americans who make that trip down to Fiji, the compelling reason to go is to experience one of our private island resorts. So as I mentioned before, we've got 333 islands, and just offshore from our international airport are two beautiful groups of islands called the Mamanusa and Yasawa Islands. And both those groups are really known for, again, a private island resort. So you will have a small island with a small resort on it. And when I mean a small resort, these resorts have anywhere from 20 to 30 rooms. So you'd be on the island with, say, 40 to 50 guests. And the only other thing on the island would be the village of 100 to 200 Fijians who actually provide the stuff at the resort. So it's just really intimate experience.
Ruth, we're just about out of time here, but I want to ask you, when folks come to Fiji, give us an idea of what do people do there? And also, has technology come to Fiji? I mean, do I have to leave my cell phone at home or can I bring it with me?
Well, great question. First of all, let me just remind you that it's going to be even easier to get to Fiji this summer because our national carrier Fiji Airways is introducing seasonal service out of San Francisco starting in June. And from either San Francisco or Los Angeles, it's an easy overnight flight to get to Fiji. So you'll leave California at about 11:30 at night. It's a 10-hour flight across the Pacific, across the dateline, and you'll arrive at 6 in the morning ready to go, ready to start your adventure. So obviously with all the islands, a lot of people go to Fiji for the diving. We are the soft coral capital of the world, great for scuba divers. Anybody who loves the water loves Fiji. I love lying in a hammock and going to the spa every day. But a lot of people are adrenaline junkies, and so our two larger islands offer a lot of really great active sports, topside sports. You can go river rafting in Fiji, zip lining, trekking through rainforests, waterfall hiking. So there is lots to do both under the water and topside when you get there. And look, yes, technology has come to Fiji, and all of our resorts have internet connection. The individual rooms will not have televisions, telephones, or internet access. So what you'll find is that you need to make time out of your day to go down to the bar or the reception area and log on to Facebook and let everybody know what a great time you're having. It happens very quickly where, as here in the U.S., we take time out of our day to disconnect. When you get to Fiji after a couple days, you really think, oh, God, I better go down and connect with people to let them know I'm alive. But it's very quick how quickly you can go back to not wanting to use your technology. And that's part of the charm of being in Fiji.
Ruth Daly, we're talking about the island nation of Fiji out in the Pacific. We will put a link on travelguysradio.com so you can learn all about Fiji if you would like. Ruth, thank you very much for joining us for a few minutes today. And we'll catch you in Fiji someday.
We'd love to see you in Fiji. And thank you, or as we say, Naka Vakalu. And please come and visit us in Fiji.
Naka Vakalu and yeah. Booyah.
And Booyah. I think that's a word that Jim Cramer uses on CNBC.
It sounds like the same one. That's what that is.
I'm guessing it's probably not.
Fijian. No, it's probably not.
Did you know? I have some things here to make our people a smarter traveler. I was going to go with the nude beach thing.
Well, that's a novel idea. Maybe we should make that kind of the theme of the show. What do you think?
You are such a pain in the rear end sometimes. These are little tidbits to make our people a smarter traveler, because after all, that is what we, all kidding aside, what we tend to try to do here. And then we'll come back, have a break, and we'll come back and talk about the nude beach, which I'm sure everyone is just hanging on
there. I thought maybe you were going to do something to make you a smarter traveler on nude beaches.
I'm going to save that one for after the commercial.
Bring it.
Here's a story. Southwest Airlines, this was on Chris Elliott's website last week. This lady had some valuable jewelry stolen out of her bag. Okay. And she figures that, you know, it had to be, TSA had to tell somebody that it was there when it went through, and somebody had to take it out, or somebody had to see it on the screen or something like that. But it all brings to the obvious question, why in the world would you, she had jewelry that was very valuable to her, and it would have fit in her pocket.
Sure.
So why in the world would you put something like that in checked luggage, people? I mean, you know, come on, just to make you... Put the valuables in your pocket, in your pocketbook, in your carry-on bag, in your something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. How many times do we have to tell you?
Here's an article that says, 5 tips for getting upgraded to first class. So I looked this up and stuff like that because I'm a top-tier flyer on United Airlines, and I can't even use my upgrade certificates to get upgraded to first class these days. It's so difficult. So they had these 5 ideas here. Look and act the part. Be loyal. Be flexible. Know how to ask. Pay a little, get a lot. Let me just tell you, folks, if you read one of these articles about how to get upgraded to first class, this is so yesterday. 20 years ago, this article would have been right on. You know, smile, be friendly to the flight attendant, to the gate agent, stuff like that.
Not anymore?
No. Get out your wallet. The best way to get into first class is when you're buying your ticket. If they say, psst, come over here, we'll give you the first class upgrade for a couple $100, it won't get any cheaper than that, so take it. Or when you're checking in, they say, hey, we have a few extra seats left over. We'd like to offer you a deal. That's how you get a deal on first class. They're pretty much is no other way. The airlines have figured out that nobody's going to pay them 6 times as much to sit in the front of the plane, but they might pay them 1.5 or 2 times as much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're trying to get. So forget the articles about how to get upgraded to first class. Get out your wallet, and when you're offered a good price, take it.
You heard it here from Mark Hoffman, the travel guy.
Saving Next. Seats on Southwest Airlines. This also came off of Chris Elliott's website. This has become a big deal on the blogosphere for travel people. A lot of people are upset about this. People pay to move up on Southwest. You know, you pay $12.50 to get on the plane earlier, and then you get on and somebody says, I'm sorry, I'm saving that seat.
Yes.
Well, here's what I have to say to you. If I get on the plane and you tell me you're saving that seat, I'm going to look and see if there's a similar seat ahead or behind you to avoid conflict. But if you're saving an exit row seat or something, and a tall person gets on and he wants to sit there, no saving seats on Southwest Airlines. Come on, people. Either pay your $12.50 a person and save your own seat. Just get on the airplane. That whole saving seats thing is so...
Boy, that hurts.
That's not good at all. Travel insurance claim. Here's a lady who bought travel insurance, became ill on a European river cruise on Viking Cruise Lines, waited until she got home to go to the doctor and stuff, and now can't understand why the insurance company won't allow her claims. For God's sake, if you get sick while you're out traveling someplace, make sure that you go and see a medical professional and have some documentation that you were sick while on your trip. Because what happened to this lady is the insurance company is not going to pay her because she didn't report her illness until she got home.
Yeah, that only makes sense. I think you're absolutely right. Get medical treatment while on the trip.
Get something that says you knew you were sick and you knew you had a problem and someone looked at you and agreed that, yeah, there could be some issue there, because waiting until you get home to initiate any kind of treatment is going to make it a he said, she said. You know, you say you got sick while you were on the tour. People do lie and fudge on those things once in a while. So anyway, just a few little important things to make you a smarter traveler.
And we are the Travel Guys. Coming up after the break, we're going to, and you might as well go to TravelGuysRadio.com right now. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you'll see the link there to the Freddie Awards. Yep. And Mark and I are going to pick out our favorites and vote, and you might as well do the same thing. And if you don't want to stay around for that, this might intrigue you. Things not to do at a nude beach. Next on the Travel Guys. I'm saving that seat for my wife.
No,
you keep moving.
Tom, to our listeners, a confession was heard here on Easter Sunday during the commercial break.
I've told people on this radio program
you have
before,
that you save seats on Southwest.
Yeah, I even, you know, gave them the tip, you know.
Listen, it's not about the average seat.
The deal is
the bulkhead and the exit
and
rows.
Those
are seats that people, you know, they pay up to maneuver to get into those seats. So if you are going to pay up for one person and try to maneuver three, then I'm just...
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, right.
No.
Okay. What not to do at a nude beach.
All right.
You are so busted. Things not to do. You're going to get on the Southwest plane. They're going to see you when you get on.
Yeah.
They're put a sign around your neck. I'm not saving any seats. Things not to do at a nude beach. Don't assume a beach is clothing optional just because you read that somewhere.
Okay.
And go tromping out there butt naked.
Yeah.
Make sure that you confirm. Do your homework first. You know, maybe go out there with your shrimp trunks on and make sure everybody else is, you know, take a peek first.
All right.
Don't expect too much.
Okay. What does that mean?
Contrary to popular belief, most nude beaches are not sexy places ripped straight out of the pages of a Playboy Mansion memoir. Patrons on nude beaches come in all sizes, shapes, and states of physical fitness and are far more likely to veer into dad bod territory than Channing Tatum in The Buff. So don't expect models and be disappointed when you see, well, normal humans.
All right.
So don't take pictures.
I think that one is
now
understood.
How about videos? Right. Don't go naked in certain public areas. There are areas that adjoin nude beaches, like restrooms and cafes and shops and things like that, that are not nude friendly. So you need to cover up when you go into those places. So make sure when you start wandering around that you've got, you know, your cover up with you, your house coat or whatever it is that you need. And for those people who really enjoy going to nude beaches, you should go online and research naturalist resorts, because there are lots and lots of resorts where you can go where it is clothing optional or something like that. So if it's just the complete freedom that you're looking for, why, that's a great idea.
You know, that makes me, we've been trying to figure out what we need to do to have another Travel Guys adventure.
Uh-huh.
You know, we did the magic bus.
Right.
We've been talking about going up to Oregon. How about we put together a Travel Guys special?
No.
Nude resort outing.
I'm thinking probably not so much.
Yeah.
Remember that thing about all shapes and sizes? That certainly would qualify us. Listen, next week, Gwen Duncan is going to be here. She's going to talk about the first cruise ship that is sailing to Cuba. And Clayton Whitehead is going to be here to talk about a upcoming sports leisure vacations trip to the heartland of the country. Right now, we are going to shift gears and spend the last 5 minutes of our program here voting for the Freddie Awards.
But wait.
What?
Luis had a suggestion.
Yes.
You know that volleyball team that we were going to... We could do the nude volleyball team for sports leisure vacations. Never mind. All right. It's time to vote for the Freddie Awards.
For the Freddie Awards. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com. That was pretty good. We almost said that together. And you can see a link there that says vote for the Freddie Awards. And you can go in there. And there's a couple ways to go. But just say that you're ready to vote. And to click on North America. That's the section that we're going to do together here right now. So, Tom, we're up here for Program of the Year in Airline. Airline Program of the Year. And I think we were unanimous here on this one. We decided that Southwest Airlines was our choice, right?
Okay. Now to vote on the Southwest thing, I'm clicking. Nothing's happening.
Well,
what do I do?
Well, I think you click on the thing that says vote now.
Okay.
And then it comes. Then the choices come up.
All right. I got it.
There
okay.
you go. Okay.
All right. Southwest.
So I'm voting. There you go. Save and review my ballot. Okay.
All right.
So it's going to go back. So now it's going to want hotel program of the year. So you're kind of a Starwood guy, right?
I am. Yeah. I am. Let me see.
So
if
vote
I can...
now. Let's see here. I'm best hotel program of the year. Okay.
Pick an SPG.
Okay. And I'm going to go with Marriott. I'm a Marriott guy. So definitely I'm okay with...
We're kind of the same now that Marriott's bought Starwood.
That's very true. We are going to be... That's Marriott and Starwood people. And we're all wondering how that's all going to work out. So, okay. Best promotion of the year. I'm going to say Marriott for hotels because they did their stay to get one free promotion, which basically means that you only had to stay twice in order to get a free night. And I would say basically that in the promotion department with airlines, I kind of draw a blank there. I don't remember any airline really offering any promotion this year that caused me to fly them more or anything.
Well, I'm liking the, here again, I'm an SPG fan, and I'm going with them for the best promotions for the hotels.
Okay. So let's go down to best redemption ability now.
Okay.
So for airlines, I think, again, we talked a little bit off the air before we got into this, and I think we both decided that because that we like Southwest as a program, and we liked it for redemption, because basically with Southwest, if you have the points and there's an open seat, then you can get it. So it's a lot easier to get space on Southwest Airlines than it is when you're being a freeloader.
And I also like the fact that you don't lose your points if you at least travel once a year, and it resets, and you can hang on to them for another year or more.
Okay. And so for hotel, let's see. We have best promotion hotel. I liked Marriott, and you stuck with Starwood. Mm-hmm. Best redemption ability for hotel. I have to say that your Starwood gang, their points are worth more than anybody else's points. And their redemption levels are therefore lower and more reasonable. And I would say, even though I'm a Marriott guy, I would say Starwood has the best redemption.
There you go.
So so Starwood on the redemption. Customer service. By the way, if you just joined us on the Travel Guys and you wondered what we're doing, we're voting for Freddy Awards. And you can do this online at TravelGuysRadio.com, or you can just listen to us pick our favorites for a couple more minutes here. We're down to best customer service for an airline.
Well, you know, here again, Mark, you fly more different airlines. You fly United mostly.
I do.
I fly Southwest almost exclusively because, you know, the rates are always make the most sense for the destinations that I go to. However, you know, you've been talking a lot about JetBlue.
Well, I'm that's very true. I'm going to base this on a professional choice. Because we do a lot of business with Alaska Airlines, and I'm gonna vote for Alaska.
Okay.
On this one. So, and who do you like?
I'm
there?
Sticking with Southwest.
You're sticking with Southwest. Okay. Best customer service for a hotel. We're running out of time here.
Okay.
I'm going to take Marriott because I think they're the best. You're going to stick with your Starwood people.
I am sticking with my Starwood.
Best loyalty credit card.
Well, I have to go with the SPG because
that's where your heart is.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Hyatt because you get double points on every time that you charge at a restaurant with Hyatt. So that's a little extra deal. Best elite program. Oh, this is for the top level people. So we'll just leave it at that. So that gives you an idea of kind of what we like, and you can go to travelguysradio.com and you can make your guess, and you can register your votes and get them in. You have until the end of the month to do that, and we will announce the winners at the end of April.
Do you have a winner there real quick?
I do. Real quick, Sports Leisure winner. Donald Key is our $100 winner for a Sports Leisure Vacations travel card. Call our office Monday or Tuesday to claim your card. Donald Key.
See you next week. Same time, 3 o'clock. Another edition of the Travel Guys. Make you smarter travel. At least we'll try.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Dina next with the news.